invisible God, only wise. And stop and think about that. We worship a God who is invisible, cannot be seen by the human eye. That's kind of frustrating if you think about it. And that's one of the reasons why when Moses came down from the mountain, or when he was taking so long coming down from the mountain, the people said, basically, give us a God we can see. And so they formed a calf. They could see that God. They could touch it. They could feel it. But it wasn't their God. Throughout the centuries, we've been ridiculed as believers because we worship a God that you can't really define. You can't draw Him. You can't paint Him. He's invisible. He cannot be seen. The last line of the last verse says, 'Tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. He's a hidden God. You ever feel like that? You wonder where in the world is God? Well, this morning we're going to look at that theme. On the front of your bulletin is the verse that we'll be exploring. And before we look into it, let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we look into your word this morning, as we look into the face of one who is invisible, that sounds like a contradiction. Lord, we ask that somehow you would open the eyes of our soul and help us to see you. Open the ears of our soul and help us to hear you. For these physical senses cannot grasp the majesty of who you are. And we pray that as we do look into your word this morning, that your Spirit will take the truths found therein and apply them to our hearts and bring us along in our journey with you. For Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to take you on a treasure hunt. How many of you have ever been on a treasure hunt? Well, some of you have. I'm sorry for the rest of you. It was great fun as kids. We would sometimes devise our own treasure hunts. It was a youth group activity or where you try and find things and set up clues along the way. I remember as a kid I had this dream. You know, I'd read pirate novels or watch a pirate movie, and I just imagined that somewhere, somehow I found this map where X marked the spot. And I would traverse land and sea and find the hidden island and go under the tree and dig up this chest, open it up, and rare jewels and treasures would be mine, and I'd be wealthy and famous. And nobody else ever had that dream? Well, maybe I was a weird kid, but I remember thinking that and kind of going on those voyages in my mind and finding secret treasure. It was a wonderful dream. What I want to share with you this morning is not that dream. I want to share with you about finding secret treasure that could literally revolutionize your life. I want to talk to you this morning about how to discover God's secrets. Ever wish you knew somebody's secrets? Ever wish you knew what somebody was thinking? I heard about a family that had company one night. They were sitting around the dinner table and the little girl looked up at her mom and said, "Mommy, are these the people you said you wished weren't coming?" That's not one of the secrets you want out at a time like that. Most of us have secrets, secrets that we don't want other people to know. But sometimes we're very much interested in other people's secrets. I mean, why else are these gossip tabloids so widespread? In the United States, in Canada, in Europe, I'm not sure of other countries, but I would think they're the same thing. We have this insatiable appetite to find out what the rich and famous are doing, or to find out what other people are doing, where they're going, what they're saying, what's happening in their lives. We like to find out secrets. We like to have an inside track on people's thoughts and their plans and their actions. It'd be nice to know some things about our neighbors that we don't know. Sure be great to know the inside track on our business competition, wouldn't it? It'd sure be nice to know what that girl or what that boy is thinking about us. It sure be nice to know what friends or other teenagers or even other adults are thinking as it relates to us. We have this desire to know. But let me ask you a much deeper question. How would you like to have an inside track on God? How would you like to be able to know His secrets? I mean, wouldn't that be something? In Proverbs 25:2, it's on the front of your bulletin. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And to search out that matter is the glory of kings. Now, when we talk about glory, the glory of God, we normally, if you're like me, we normally think of things like millions of angels surrounding the throne, singing His praise. We think of the dazzling brilliance of His majesty. We think of awesome holiness of His character, in which there is not one speck of sin. We think of His complete sovereignty, in which He rules and nothing happens without His oversight. We think of His omniscience, the fact that He knows every single thing about every single thing. He knows it all. We think of His omnipresence, where He is everywhere present at the same time in the entire universe and beyond. We think of these characteristics of His love that has no limit, of His mercy that abounds, of His grace, of these... We can go on and on. We think of these characteristics of God that speak to us of His glory. But you probably never thought of this being part of His glory. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of God to bury things away so that you can't see them. And you say, oh, that's kind of strange. Well, some of you are saying, that's not strange at all. That's the way I live. Tell me about it. I sure love to know God. I'd love to know what He's thinking. I'd love to know His plans, but I just can't figure them out. No matter what I try, no matter what I read, no matter where I go, it just seems like there's a black curtain between Him and me that I pray, my prayers don't get answered. It's just there's distance. He's hidden. He's far. We ever feel like that? Anybody? Yeah. Most of us at some time are in. What's the use of pursuing God? He's hidden. Well, the second says, it is the glory of kings to search it out. God hides things and He hides truth, not so that we will not discover it. He wants us to discover it. He hides truth, hear me, He hides truth, He hides secrets, He hides insight and wisdom, and He hides all the good stuff in order to weed out false seekers from true seekers. Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Chapter 13. We pick up the story just after Jesus had told the parable of the sower. You know that Jesus often taught in story fashion. He would tell a story, and that would be it. And after one such story, His disciples said in Matthew 13, verse 10, the disciples came to Him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." And you may say, just a minute, Jesus. You're telling me that you are giving us some secrets and you're not giving it to them? Isn't that unfair? I thought you were a fair God. How come you're helping us see some stuff and not them? Isn't that partial? Isn't that prejudice? How could you do it, God? Jump down to verse 13. "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.'" In other words, Jesus is saying, these people don't want me. They may want my benefits, but they don't want me. They don't want to hear me. They hear with the physical ear, but they're not willing to hear with their spiritual ear. They may see with their physical eye, but they don't really see what I want them to see. In other words, they refuse to walk in the light that I've already given them. Therefore, I'm not going to give them any more. I'm going to hide my truth from them. Friends, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. This is the essence what I believe God would say to us this morning. God will not lead us past the point of our disobedience. God will not lead us past the point of our disobedience. Why in the world should God give us more insight, more light, more secrets, more awareness if we haven't followed through on what He's already given us? Why? I wouldn't do that to my children. Ask my child to obey me in something? He'd no. And so then you go and buy him a treat? What kind of parent would do that? Some who follow modern psychologists, probably. You train your child. God trains us. And if we have wandered away from what He's asked us to do, why should He keep on giving us more insight and more revelation? And that's why in verse 12 it says, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. You see, finding God's secrets, friends, is like a treasure hunt. It's like that in that one clue leads to the next one, leads to the next one, and leads to the next one. Clue, you get it, everybody in the group gets clue one. It says da-da-da-da, poem or whatever trick, and you got to find out where to go for clue two. You find the location, okay, it's over here. You go to this place, you discover clue two. Clue two tells you to go over here, tells you to go over there, and so on. Now, if you get to clue two and you look at it and it says go to the post office, and you say, I don't want to go to the post office, I think I'll go to the bank. And so you go to the bank. Well, friends, you can go to the bank till the cows come home, and you're not going to get clue three. And you can hunt all over the world and you're not going to find clue four and clue five and clue six because they all hinge on the previous clues. And that's what discovering God's secrets is all about. Why should God give us clue six if we haven't obeyed clue two? Why? He doesn't do it. Let me give you an illustration. Some helpers here. Any of you two can help model something. Hey, Bob, someone else. See, I said young person, Bob stood up. So... someone else. I'm not going to embarrass you. Perpetua, come on up here. Okay, Bob, go stand with Perpetua in the aisle over there. This is just to try and help you visualize and illustrate. Stand together there. Okay, now I'm going to give you guys some directions and just simply do what I say. Okay, take three steps forward. Okay, now take Perpetua, you can take one more step. There, so you're it. Bob, you got long legs. Okay, now I want you to turn right. Just before you do, though, I want you to turn and take one step. Okay, but, turn left and take one step. But, Perpetua, pretend you never heard me, and you turn the other way. Okay? Now I want you to follow my advice. Both of you follow exactly the same orders. Okay? Now, turn left. And take a step. Okay, turn right and take a step. Turn left and take a step. No, right there, okay. Now, I was trying to direct them to the piano. Perpetua, you seemed to get there okay, didn't you? Maybe stumble, I brought you a little too close. Bob, what are you doing over there? You're obeying my instructions. You obeyed the last three commandments perfectly, didn't you? There's only one that you missed. Back here. If I kept giving them instructions to lead them on, where would Bob end up? Way out there somewhere. Even if he followed all the things I told him. The reason is he missed a very important key back here. Thank you guys very much. Very profound, isn't it? But what I'm trying to say is many of us, many people... And as a pastor, I've observed this with families, with marriages, with raising children, with whatever the issues are. Many people are trying to build some system of success or trying to get the blessing of God in their lives, and they don't realize that they have violated a principle in their lives previously, and they're wondering why things aren't working. God will not lead us past the point of our willful disobedience. And you may say, well, I'm not sure where that is. Ask Him. If you have any doubt, ask Him. God is not a cruel taskmaster. Simply say, Lord, where have I erred? Where have I forsaken you? Where have I left your clue, left your principle? And he'll take you right back there instantly. And when we discover where we have left the path that God has for us, go back, make the correction, then we can follow him and experience the rest of his blessings. Many people in the world, most people in the world, and unfortunately many people in the church, are mad at God. They feel shortchanged. They look at other people and they see peace in their life, joy in their life. They see spiritual victory, spiritual fruit, the blessing of God in their life. And we look at them and we say, well, how come they have it and I don't? Many people want the blessing, but they're not willing to go God's way of getting it. They want the secret treasure. They want to find the chest with all the jewels. But who wants to read a map? Friends, there's a lot of spiritual lilies and daisies on the road of life. And you can pick those. Anybody can pick those. But you're not going to find nuggets of gold sitting beside the road. If you want the gold, you've got to go into the hills and search for it. God has hidden the gold. Jesus follows his own advice. He doesn't cast his pearls before swine. He doesn't lay his gold out on the highway for any passerby to take. He hides it. And only the diligent, the serious, those who want it enough to do something about it, are going to find it. Now, God doesn't hide it so that we won't find it. He hides it to weed out true seekers from false seekers. God's secrets are not up for grabs. I want you to notice a danger that's involved with this principle. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Those who were just on the Israel tour will have this passage kind of jump at them with remembrance. As Jesus was coming down the Mount of Olives, he looked out over Jerusalem. In verse 41, Luke 19:41, we read, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. Why? Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus coming down the mount gets that panorama of the city of Jerusalem. And his heart breaks. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem! You who for centuries have prayed for Messiah to come. You who have asked for God to intervene. I have come. I'm here. And you have closed your eyes. I have taught. You would not listen. I have revealed and shown. You would not see. I have asked and commanded. You would not obey. Therefore now, as a result of the hardness of your heart, the unwillingness to respond, the unwillingness to see, though to accept, to obey, as a result, your eyes will be darkened. You will not see. But Jesus said, I can see. And Jesus could see perhaps 40 years into the future. He could see the Roman armies coming and capturing that city. He could see, because of who he was, he could see and imagine them coming in and destroying the city, breaking down the temple, stealing all of its artifacts. He could see the women being raped, the children being thrown in the streets, all the people being killed. He could see them being dispersed throughout the world for over thousands of years. He could see it all coming, and his heart was broken. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why? Why? How often I would gather you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have it. Why? There's a price to pay when we do not take the insight, the promptings, the direction, the clues that God gives us. And we wander off into pain and destruction, and then we say, oh God, it's your fault. Friends, God is here this morning. Have you recognized the day of your visitation? Have you recognized when God comes to you, when God makes Himself known to you, when God is teaching you truth and a principle and life? Or do you say, don't want that, no time for that? God is here this morning. By His Spirit, He's trying to impress truth upon your hearts. If you choose not to follow through in what He's saying, that's your privilege. But when you're bypassed with His blessing, don't blame God. God hides His secrets to weed out true seekers from false seekers. Now let me hasten to the good news. The good news is that what God has hidden, He has hidden so that He can reveal it. He's not hidden it to bury it forever and keep it away from us. He's hidden it so we will know the joy of discovery and the joy of participating in that which is ours. In Matthew 10:26, Jesus said, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. There is nothing that is hidden that will not be made known." What a wonderful promise. In Matthew 11:25-26, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." What a marvelous truth. God hides the gold of His truth, the gold of His secrets from people who have all the human head knowledge and wisdom. And it's often little kids who get it. Who are these little children that He speaks about? Who is it that is able to discover this secret treasure of God? Who is it? Proverbs 3:37 says, "The Lord takes the upright into His confidence." Think of it. Now again, I'm not trying to paint a picture of God being a human, but try and imagine. You know, you're teenagers. You know, you got something, a secret you got to tell. You got to tell a friend something. Who are you going to tell? You going to tell the blabbermouth who's going to tell everybody else? No. You choose who you're going to tell your secrets to. And God's saying, let's see now, who can I tell this wonderful secret that I have? The Scripture says He takes the upright into His confidence. It's into their ear that He whispers. Psalm 25:14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. He makes His covenant, the mystery of His will, known to them." He loves to reveal it. Let me give you two biblical examples of this. In Genesis 18, it's the story of when God comes down to the earth and He's on His way to Sodom and Gomorrah, where He's about to destroy the cities. The sin has reached full measure, and He's about to pour out His wrath upon the city. And they're coming by where Abraham and Lot live in the areas. And God, in communication with Himself, the triune God, says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Think of it. God's got His plan. He knows what He's doing. And as He's walking by Abraham's tent, He says, "Just a minute here. Should I hide this? Should I tell him? Should I hide? Should I tell him?" You know the story. He goes to Abraham's tent. He tells him what he's about to do. Abraham then begins to intercede for the city. "If there's 50, will you spare? If there's 40, 30, 20, 10. And ends up Lot and his family are able to escape. But he didn't hide from Abraham the plan that he had. I find it interesting that Lot, who was the guy we would pick to know all the details, Lot should have had that information. I mean, Lot was your young, successful businessman. I mean, when he had the option, he chose the rich, fertile plain rather than the mountain country. I mean, Lot had connections. Lot was a city boy. You could go down the list and compare Lot and Abraham. Lot had it. I mean, Lot was with it. Lot was going places in life. But Lot didn't know sniff about God's plan. It was old man Abraham. Old, faithful, simple Abraham, who built his life on such qualities as trust and faith and obedience
It was Abraham that knew the secret of the Lord.
It's the same today. We can get so pumped up with all our worldly insight and wisdom and finances and connections, and we think, hey, we're going places.
And God says, go. But I reserve my secrets for those who fear me, for those who trust me, for those who are upright in my presence, for those who obey me.
You remember Daniel, that young man who was carried off into captivity with the Israelites when Nebuchadnezzar took them to his land? And there he had purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the sin of that country. It was there that God began to grant him insight and wisdom and ability to see things that were unseen. And he said in Daniel 2, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king." King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even have a dream in his bed that God wasn't able to reveal to Daniel. You say, well, God knows those things? Of course He knows those things. The hidden things are with the Lord. And when they need to be known to His people, He is able to do it. In 2 Chronicles 16:19, it says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, to find the man whose heart is fully committed to Him, so that he may show himself strong." And picture it, friends. Picture it. God sitting on His throne, looking down at this little ball of mud in the universe called Earth, and He sees you and me like ants crawling around it. Smaller than ants, I'm sure. And yet He loves every one of us. Amazing. He looks down and His eyes are scanning. He's looking. He looks over Africa, He looks over Europe, He looks over Asia, over North America, South America, Australia, back to Africa, Europe. He's scanning the world, scanning. What's He looking for? He's looking for the heart of the man, of the woman, of the young person whose heart is fully committed to Him. Why? So that He may show Himself strong on their behalf. So that He may whisper in their ear and reveal His heart and His secrets. So that He may reveal and direct and guide and show Himself mighty on their behalf. The question is, who does He find? History shows us, unfortunately, very few. Shortly after I became a Christian as a teenager, God saved me from a very messed up background. I remember seeing a pull-out page from a Christian magazine, and I'll never forget it. It meant so much to me, I pulled it out and put it behind glass on my wall, even because it still had the staple marks and the fold and all that kind of stuff. I hung it up there. It was a very dark picture, a box of matches, a bunch of burnt-out matches lying on the table, and a hand kind of in the picture holding one match that was burning. And the words at the bottom of the page simply said this: "God striking wet matches in the dark finally finds one that lights." And as a young person, I said, "Oh God, let that be my life. I want to be a wet match. I don't want to be one who you just have to keep striking, trying to get their attention. Lord, I want as soon as You touch my life that it will flame up for You." Do you want to be one of those to whom God gives His secrets? To whom God can whisper in your ear His direction, His counsel, His guidance, His truth, His will, His commands, His warnings? Or do you want to walk off into the life like the rest of the world, doing your own thing, thinking you've got the world by the tail and God by the noose? The eyes of the Lord scanned the earth, and He saw Abraham, and He told him His plan.
He found Daniel. He told him his plan. He unfolded his mystery. He saw Solomon. When Solomon could have asked for the world, he said, "Lord, I just want your secret. I want wisdom." God gave it to him and more. Throughout history, God finds those people. And my question this morning is, does he find you? Does he find me? When he's looking. What secrets do you need to know this morning? What insight, perception, wisdom beyond your years, understanding, discernment, what do you need for your marriage? For your family? For your business, your career? For your prayer life? For your walk with God? What insight do you need for God's plan for His church? For His plan for this land? For this part of the world? What insight do you need? What is the area?